Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, that's my co-host, Nick Mason.
Top of the morning to you, James.
Why do you say such a thing?
Well, it's the morning.
Yeah, well,
we're recording in the morning.
It's true.
And, of course, there's plenty of Irish news, obviously.
So much Irish
news. We're going to be talking about that Irish actor Leonardo DiCaprio, as you might imagine. So,
yeah, absolutely. We're going to be talking about all of those things. Just a quick and brief and insincere apology up top, Mason.
Okay, right.
This is a little bit late this week, and including for those at BigSandwich.co. I've been sick over the weekend.
You had bad diarrhea.
No, Mason. He keeps saying I've got bad diarrhea, but I had zero diarrhea.
I'm looking at a text chain here between you and me, and there's a lot of talk of bad diarrhea and you having bad diarrhea. So I don't know. I'm not making this up.
I would, if I had bad diarrhea, I would say I had bad
You'd
diarrhea.
You'd be out and proud.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I didn't, Mason.
Okay, all right.
I had regular flu.
Do you want the t-shirt to say, I don't have bad diarrhea, or do you want it to say, I've got bad diarrhea and I'm proud of it?
I want it.
And it's your face.
If I had bad diarrhea, right. I would be proud of it.
Okay, that's a great t-shirt. I like that. Okay. tpublic.com. Search for The Weekly Planet. That one will be up.
So I appreciate your patience and also the people who sent kind words and said, hope you feel better.
What about the people that said mean things?
Then you know what? To all my haters out there, fucking get in the grave. I'll kill you. I'm not sick enough to cave your fucking head in with a shovel. You don't think I will?
You sure you're drinking herbal tea there? Oh, but you do have a shovel in your other hand. So, okay, all right.
Absolutely do. No, thank you to everybody. Appreciate it. Good fun times all around.
Thanks to the haters. Yeah. No, we need somebody to dab on, don't we?
That's right, exactly.
We need someone to dab on and do big kisses at.
Exactly.
We don't have any haters. I don't know. We don't say anything controversial enough to.
We got haters. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some.
It's more just like this movie's good, actually. Or, I can't believe you like this movie, etc.
Yeah, it's that.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we do and we don't.
big news this week, Mason. In addition to talking about Fast X, colleagues who edits this, who put the time codes in below, if you just want to skip to all the Fast X action.
That's right. Or you want to talk about Jake Extraction.
Oh, yeah, you could get that. Well, that's right. We could talk about that because we are doing trailers. We're going to talk trailers for a couple of things, including Killers of the Flower Moon, Jake Extraction 2. What was the other trailer?
The Creator.
The Creator. And the Mission Impossible one, that's in there also. More delays due to the writer's strike. Some dates on some upcoming Marvel TV series. A bunch of shows are leaving Disney Plus and Hulu.
Unless you put the pressure on and then sometimes they go,
all right, we'll give you these
We'll give this one, yeah. Oh, yeah, this would be a hate crime if we took this off, actually, to be honest. So we'll probably leave this one, actually.
We got first reviews are in for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Okay. And the best thing I can say is it got a 5-minute standing ovation. That's great.
Which is apparently a crushing defeat in the world of Cannes, which is wild. I mean, I'm sure we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But there is no movie in the world where I'd be more than 30 seconds.
It's too long.
Even 30 seconds is too long because at that point you're looking around and you're like, why is everybody else still clapping?
It's like when people sing you happy birthday. It's like, what do you do? You know?
Yeah.
But it's 5 minutes.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And after you finish clapping.
In this scenario, I'm the one being clapped at for five minutes.
Oh, yeah. And then after, in Cannes, and everybody's clapped for 19 minutes, somebody's just like, and many more.
For his jolly and then we're going to talk about...
Why did he make Indiana Jones 5? Why did he make it at all?
For money, Mason.
You make it for money. Now, I want to be clear, though.
Yeah.
I have never dampened your enthusiasm for Indiana Jones
5. Yeah. Just like you never accused me of having severe diarrhea when I did it.
It's true.
Your words don't mean anything, Mason.
But what I'm saying is we've gotten through this entire sordid ordeal and soiled ordeal, and I never once have, but it's just all the reviews what done it.
Yeah. Some one of us is certainly enjoying it more than the other. I'll tell you that much, Mason.
I'm not enjoying it. I would love Indiana Jones 5 to be good. And it still might be good. Is it even a movie that you go to Cannes and people go, good work?
Maybe.
And they'd be like, oh, I bet people would be eating their popped corns for this. Yuck.
And then we're also going to talk about the CW era of superheroes and how it's pretty much over and what they're pivoting towards.
Oh, no.
I think it's good.
Is it reality TV? Is it more reality TV?
It's like that, but a little bit worse.
Oh, no. AI designed reality TV?
Not that bad.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to hear about it. Do you think, have there been movies that have been booed at Cannes, do you think? Must be, right?
Yeah, I think people walk out every now and then.
Probably like a Lars von Trier or like one of those guys doing a real gross movie.
Doing a gross thing.
Something like, boo, no.
Too gross. Too gross.
Too gross.
That's me.
Yeah.
Mason, delays but okays.
Yeah, remember, because
we're in the era of this writer's strike.
That's right.
It's okay to be like, hey, some things are going to be delayed so people get paid actual money for the work.
Oh, things being delayed so people get paid.
Exactly.
I like that. That's a good one.
There's a bunch of things announced this week, but I guess the things like most relevant to this popular podcast is the Mandalorian season 4.
Oh, yes.
And the Penguin have ceased production.
Oh, yeah, of course. Right.
That makes sense. There you go. Big sci-fi and comic book properties grinding to a halt. And who's to blame for this, Mason? The writers. Get back to work.
That's right. That's right. Oh, and in more normal news, David Zaslav, being a normal guy, the CEO of Warner Brothers, he
was very normal this week.
He went to a Boston University commencement. He did a Boston University commencement event, and people booed him.
Yeah,
I think that's funny.
Is it because he was wearing sunglasses?
It was probably because he was wearing sunglasses and talking about content, I imagine.
Yeah, that's super cool. Mm. Yeah, I think he's normal, and I think we can't stress that enough.
Yeah. We think it's a normal. Yeah. 22 minutes of speech he had.
I do enjoy how most people this time around, I think it was different last time, have now like come around on the idea that this will be stopped if you just pay people properly. It's not like, well, the writers are holding things up. This could be resolved if you pay people their actual worth.
Apparently a plane circled overhead with a message, David Zaslav, pay your riders, during the speech.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, he's just blah-bitty-blah,
he's like, I could work with you all one day.
Yeah, that's right. And remember to follow your dreams and bloody, the journey of life's very important and blah-bitty-blue-bitty.
Boy, is it? That's a great point. Wish I was there.
Life's going to enrich you. Don't even worry about it.
You know what's going to enrich you as well?
Getting paid, probably, by a studio.
Well, that, I just... Big David Zaslav are getting like $100 million plus a year.
That's true.
For doing his job.
Mm.
Badly, I want to say.
I mean, from a certain point of view.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
From the point of view of people who like to enjoy, media and
yeah. Well, I
don't know. I'm indifferent at this point, honestly.
Yeah, I just consume things and I move to the next thing.
Mm.
So I enjoy media, Mason.
That's right.
I enjoy content. Speaking of content.
Oh, yes, I'm listening.
We've got a season 2 release date for Loki, and it is going to be in October of 2023. Mm. It's going to be weekly.
Very nice.
You might be like, well, what's unusual about that? All the Marvel shows are weekly.
Great point.
Yeah. But
I wouldn't have said that, though, because I didn't remember that.
Well, the reason I brought it up, though, is because Echo.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which was releasing after Loki finishes on November 29th.
That's all going to come out in the one bloody go.
That's
going
to come out all at once. Mm. Now, for those people who don't remember, Echo is a new character. No, is it new to comics?
No, she's been around in comics for some years.
Okay.
But was introduced in the MCU in...
In Hawkeye.
In Hawkeye, that's right.
That's right.
So primarily initially a Daredevil sort of love interest slash villain
mm.
who is like Daredevil is blind, she is deaf, but yes. she compensates in other ways.
That's right, exactly.
Cool fighting type.
That's right.
She's a fighting type Pokemon.
I enjoyed that character, but people are speculating, and there has been rumors that the reason they're maybe dumping these all at once is because it's not great.
Right,
and apparently it's gone back for a number of reshoots. That's some more rumors that have been out there. And that this way it's just kind of done and it's out there as opposed to people week to week going, this is bad.
Sure, well, maybe.
And then it's stretched out over 6 to 8 weeks. It's
still bad.
It could just be trying a new method, but I don't know. I don't think on the surface looking at this, I don't think this is a good thing.
Also, I mean, you can't rule out, because they'll try anything, you can't rule out, hey, what if we put out one series week to week and we one out everything at once just so people have something. Some people, they might be like, well, some people like to watch things week to week and some people like to binge the whole season, so let's do both and see what happens.
Mm.
It's possible.
Exactly.
But I don't know if it's likely.
Yeah.
But there you go.
We'll find out on November 29th when me and you will be watching every episode at double the speed.
That's right.
To get through it, to move on to the next piece of content, Mason. Don't you think?
I do think that. There was a new trailer just as I was coming in. There was a new trailer for Secret Invasion. But if you haven't seen it, it's about the same as the last one.
Oh, okay.
It's like, why don't you bring in the Avengers? And he's like, well, this is something I've got to do myself. I mean, bringing in even one of the Avengers would make this way easier. But I've got to use this little gun.
Yeah.
And I've got to do it that way.
Why doesn't he say, like, because I can't trust anybody?
It's a good point.
Did he say that?
No, he says, I've got to do it.
I trust everybody, but I still want to do this myself.
I've learned to trust everybody. That's right. I've had a character arc, thanks for noticing, over like 10 years. I have. Anyway. And I had a haircut. Didn't notice that either, did you? Hey. But anyway, I've got my little gun and I'm going to go into this and I'm going to fight all these Skrulls.
Who I trust.
I trust them also. I trust them to be worthy and honourable opponents.
Well, people are comparing this to the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that's true, they are.
Which is what you want to say.
That is what they're saying this is the best espionage-themed MCU movie/series since the Winter Soldier is what
they're saying.
That's what they're saying. And people are like, I mean, they're probably right.
Yeah.
If this is good or not, it's probably going to be right.
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. When's that out anyway? Is it this year or is it next year?
It is this year, I think. Yeah, it's quite soon.
So it's before Loki, right?
Mm. Interesting then that there's no Loki trailer.
June 21st. Yeah, well, I think they're still...
scrambling to chop bits out?
Well, that and they recently... Well, the press kit thing that they released recently didn't have any mention of Jonathan Majors or Kang in it, and they showed a trailer to, like, investors or something at a whatever. I don't know.
Where
they show a thing to somebody and we're not there?
Yes, David Zaslav is there.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But we're not there.
And Kang and Jonathan Majors are not in that either.
Mm.
So I think, they're probably waiting to make any kind of official announcement.
Mm.
But it seems as if they're very much like, let's...
Yeah.
Let's kind of pair this back
there,
as
there is a new Avengers series that came out quite recently, and I saw some preview pages for that.
Yeah.
And Kang is in it, but he doesn't look anything like Jonathan Majors.
No.
Which, and I don't know if they've had time to implement changes, but I feel like...
Jonathan Majors changes.
That's right. I kind of feel like if this would be the moment, if they're like, we're
yeah.
You know, because they often make changes relating to the stuff that happens in the movies and series and what have you.
The way that Black Adam looks exactly like Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
For that one panel and then never again, exactly, yeah. But this would be the moment where they'd be like, we're going to make this call.
Yeah.
And I think they were kind of like, let's not though.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yes.
But so there you go. Those are the things that are happening and whatever, whatever, whatever. Anyways, Mason.
Go on.
Shows that are leaving Disney Plus and Hulu.
Mm.
Now, there's a few things going on here because Bob Iger, your dad,
yes,
who's also normal, has a big normal plan to save $3 billion in 2023. Mm.
And it's by not paying people residuals.
That's part of it, sure. Yeah. But
and also not paying other things.
There was a three-pronged approach this week, which we're going to get into. And one of them...
A triple pronger.
That's right.
Wow.
One of them is to remove 50-ish shows from Disney Plus and Hulu.
That sounds like he said the number and then looked around and people, and the investors didn't care for it. And he's like, 50 to 100? I don't know.
Less?
He's turning the big dial that says destroying artists' work left and right and looking for the investors and seeing what they say. Everything?
Everything.
Start again.
Some of them.
All right. AI?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Anyway, here's the shows. Bear in mind, I think they've walked back.
You're not going to read off 50 of these, eh?
I might.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it's 50.
Okay.
But I've got here's some. Also, bear in mind, they've walked back three of these.
They have.
Which feels to me like, okay, here's three.
Okay.
Which means, like, I think they were going to do it anyway.
Yeah, okay. You think this was a tactic. You think they're like, okay. Definitely. They're like, we'll know some of these will get blowback and we'll bring those back, and it looks like we're making concessions to the public.
Some of these are also, just want to point out, are brand new.
Yeah.
One of the examples, of course, being Willow.
Yeah, yeah.
Which just came out.
Like 6 months ago, right? Yeah,
less.
Yeah, right.
Okay, here we go.
And they were going to do two more seasons of that, I think.
That was the plan. They will.
Oh, James.
What? I can't dream? I can't be as optimistic as a new Nick Fury.
Why start now, James? Why start believing in dreams now?
I believe in the new Indiana Jones movie, though you don't want me to.
I want you to, but I know you don't.
The Mysterious Benedict Society, Big Shot, Turner and Hooch, Willow, The Making of Willow, Just Beyond, The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
I think they should keep The Making of Willow, but remove Willow. And people are like, oh, that was really fascinating. Now time to what? Wait a second.
Pistol, Dollface, The Quest, The Hot Zone, Why the Last Man. That took like 14 years for somebody
and
to
I
make.
And I forgot it came out. Yeah. Some of the also for some of these, if you live in countries that are not the US, some of these will probably be on different platforms due to licensing agreements for a while. So the Why the Last Man in Australia is on Binge. It's not on
Disney
Plus. So that'll probably be around for a bit. So, I don't know, check
it. I mean, I probably still won't watch it.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it either.
But I could.
Because, I think it's also the season didn't wrap up. So,
yeah, fair enough.
The series didn't wrap up, so.
Maggie, Little Demon, The Premise, Love in the Time of Corona.
No, all right, yes.
Everything's Trash. That's not me saying that. That's the name of the show.
Uh-huh.
Best in Snow, Best in Dough, The One and Only Ivan. That's the one that Bryan Cranston came out and said, hey, I made that.
Oh, that's right. It's something about a gorilla.
I watched it with my kids. They liked it.
Okay, great.
Timmy Fallia, Be Our Chef, Magic Camp, Howard, Earth to Ned, Foodtastic, Stuntman, Disney's Fairy Tale Weddings, Wolfgang, It's a Dog's Life with Farmer Bill. Bill Farmer, sorry. I don't know if he's a... So, I mean, imagine having worked on that and they're just like, this has gone forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most of these, I would probably even say all of these, do not have physical releases either.
No, absolutely not.
You're just asking people to pirate them.
And when Disney Plus came out, along with The Mandalorian, the Jeff Goldblum one.
That was the one they were pushing
that so hard. It's like, oh, Lee's going to look at things and go, oh, ice cream.
Do you want to see Jeff Goldblum talk about permaculture?
I guess, sure.
I never saw it.
I saw some of it.
And?
It's pretty good.
Was it good though? Or was it like, was there much research, or he'd turn up to a thing and they'd be like, this is how gravity works? And it's like, well, that's great.
I'm sure there was a lot of planning in the pre-production stages where they'd talk to like the tattoo guys and be like, set up a thing and show it and a demonstration and the history of it or whatever. And then they just had Goldblum rock up and be like, oh,
good.
Maybe one day I'll get a tattoo.
Not today. Okay, fair enough. So, yeah, there you go.
But one of them you mentioned was Howard, which is the
story
behind one of the creators, one of the creative forces behind the Disney the Renaissance.
The music of the...
Yeah, yeah, The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast.
Which has a movie this week.
Yeah.
There's a movie.
Yeah.
It's also called The Little Mermaid.
That's right.
And it's not by coincidence. It's the same thing again.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so that was one of the ones people were up in arms, especially because, like, he's such a pivotal, person in the time of Disney, which saved the company.
Howard Ashman writes and composes songs for such classic Disney movies as The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin. So the lyricist behind the Disney classics, and people were mad.
Yeah, and fair enough. And
fair enough. Yeah,
yeah.
And again, that's purpose built for Disney Plus. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
but I mean, I guess
also you re-edit the start of it and it goes, some of this music has even survived today because we've remade the movie. Here's a sneak peek at the new Little Mermaid or
that's
whatever,
right,
and it's a crowd going, "I'm fucking hideous." You know?
Yep.
We're going to talk about it next week.
Oh.
I think Claire's going to come on, though.
Okay, great, sure.
Because I said, Claire, you're a girl.
You like a girl movie. Movies for girls. She can come up with a Barbie movie as well.
Yeah.
And Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
She can do the Barbie Oppenheimer double bill.
So there you go. Mm. Those are some things. Now, again, like, I know a lot of people said, like, who cares and whatever. Look, I didn't watch
most of those.
I think I watched Willow.
So, and also the thing about this, I guess on the one hand, Disney for years, people will probably remember, had a thing that was sort of unofficially called the Disney Vault.
Yeah.
Which is where they would
release. I think it was official, wasn't it?
Probably was official. Yeah. Where they would release some of their stuff on VHS or a DVD for a while.
Yeah.
And then they would just stop selling it and would disappear off store shelves and you just couldn't get it for years. And they're like, it's back. Beauty and the Beast is back. You can get it
again
for a limited time kind of thing. And I guess, and so Disney Plus has sort of been a real complete 180 there because everything's been available for ever now. And I guess, and a lot of people were like, well, it's probably just a matter of time before they reinstitute this.
Mm.
But
I can't see any of this stuff, like, or most of it, like, cycling back on to the platform.
No, it seems like it's gone forever. I also wonder, because last week we talked about, or perhaps the week before, we talked about the strike, and we said it's actually going to be good because we can just look at our enormous watch lists and go, maybe I'll finally watch all this stuff if there's no new stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And I wonder if some of this is a tactic of, like,
maybe
we're
actually
going to take some stuff away. So
it is wild to me that it's more profitable to remove things and have less content than have, like, a bigger back catalogue. And I don't think – I say this. I don't think currently the idea would be to remove, like, the Disney classics or the Marvel shows or whatever. But it wouldn't surprise me if they do add this artificial scarcity to it.
Or they change the tier listing where they're like, okay, $9.99 gets you the garbage.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want a Marvel package, that's going to cost you an extra $10. If you want Disney Pixar, if you're not willing to go see Elemental in cinemas because you know in a month's time it's going to be on Disney Plus, so why bother? Well, guess what? That's an extra $10. So your options are go see it at the cinema or pay extra for the.
I love those Pixar movies. It's like, what if your emotions had feelings or whatever? What if your brain had a face?
What if your brain was on fire?
Yeah, it's all good stuff, man.
It is good stuff, I think.
Yeah. Some other cost-cutting measures include the Galactic Star Cruiser experience is closing. You familiar with this?
Now, that's the one where...
That's right. You're trapped in a room with screens on it. You're actually underground. You're in a bunker.
And it costs $6,000 or something?
Per
day or something? Some astounding amount of money?
So for those people who don't know, it's a Star Wars experience which came under the old guard, as in the guy, the previous Bob, not Bob Iger, Bob Chapek, was apparently a notorious penny pincher.
Right.
And the idea is behind this thing, it's the experience. You get on it and it's like you're on a spaceship.
Yes.
And so you go into your cabin and there's like a screen on the... On the wall, you're underground.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in a
sounds submarine. Just like my bloody life. I'm underground. I'm looking at screens,
and you stay in there for like however many days. But for four guests,
who knows what's happening on the outside world? You just don't know. Maybe the world's ended.
Exactly. It's $749 per guest, and it's $6,000 for the entire trip. I think that's for a couple of nights, and you get access to like. The Millennium Falcon ride and whatever the fuck else.
Right.
So they're closing that down because people are like, who is this for? There aren't enough Star Wars fans with this much disposable income to do this. And who wants to sleep underground with a screen on it?
And like they have to bring in like Star Wars actors who are on all the time kind of thing.
It's really expensive. Yeah,
Maybe you wake up and you're like, I want a drink at the bar, and then you have to drag. Like,
I want to speak to Admiral Akbar. Well, he's dead. He died in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, but you need a guy to say he's dead. You need a guy to play one of his like extended family, like maybe
Avtap. He's in the
No, but like maybe but that would be expensive because you have to do the makeup. Oh, okay. So maybe like a brother-in-law by marriage or whatever is like, he's dead. He's dead. Don't you listen?
Don't you listen? It was on the Star Wars news. You don't watch Star Wars news? I could do it. I could work
there.
Yeah,
you can do it, yeah. Well, it's too late.
Not yet. It's not closed yet. So, yeah, there you go. Another cost-cutting measure is they've scrapped plans to build a $1 billion Florida campus, which would have housed 2,000 relocating staff. Ah. Now, publicly, this decision was made by Bob Iger in response to Ron DeSantis, who was all like, everything's too woke and I'm going to be president. Mm. Great. So that's cool. But the thing is, I don't think that's why they closed it. I think it's just part of the cost-cutting
Right.
thing. Uh-huh. Like, Ron DeSantis is like...
$1 billion is a lot of money.
Yeah, it's true, but he's temporary. There'll be... If he... Say he becomes president, it's possible.
Sure.
He's a weird little freak. He's so weird.
Yeah.
Like, why is he... Like, he presents like a person. Mm. He's just fucking strange. What a weird freak.
I agree. Strong agree. But maybe that's what the people want these
days. No, but like, you know how Trump's like charismatic at least? And like, I see, I don't like him, right?
You love him.
I love him. no, but I see the appeal.
Mm.
And like, he can be fun. He's just like, meh. You know, he's just he's gross. I don't know what it is. I can't even... Specifically, put my finger on it. Anyway,
he's one like tripping up in an embarrassing way from being out of the race entirely. Like if he's getting out of a car or something, or going down some stairs and he trips and like falls over and you know his big bus is in the air or whatever. Like he's out. He'll never live that down.
Yeah, exactly. And what I think is interesting about this because you're supposed to, if you're a politician. You're supposed to come at these things and talk about everything's too woke and whatever, but you're not supposed to
do anything about it.
Because then people, as in like I should say the media on all sides turn on you because it looks like you're attacking businesses and,
like
and
Disney.
People's jobs.
People love Disney.
People love Disney, exactly.
Oh, ban Disney. Well, you're out then. I mean, what are you doing?
But again, I think they're using this as an excuse and they were going to shelve it anyway. I think it's just cost cutting, but it's inconvenient to go, well, we hate this guy and so we're just going to not do it. Anyway, funny stuff.
That is funny stuff.
So if you look at that, that's at least $1 billion more on the way to saving $3 billion.
That's true. That's a third of the way there.
Yeah, but and that's not – and like the Galactic Star Cruiser, how much are they saving that on that if they shut it down? My goodness. Oh, hang on. Greg's here.
what time will you be finished? Can I do an interview at midday or should I –
We'll be done by midday.
We'll be done by midday, yeah. I've got to be out of here by midday, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Claire, are you coming on next – are you coming on next week to talk about The Little Mermaid?
Oh, you – yes, I am.
Are you aware it goes for 2 hours and 15 minutes?
That's too long. You know how I feel about film? I hate film. Everyone hates me because I said I hate
Claire
film.
Claire hates film.
I've had many emails. I'm sorry.
Which films? Like all films?
I just made a statement on social. Interesting. All films.
Did you do that for engagement though?
No, I didn't. But now I think maybe it was strategic.
Is that what you think now, do you?
No, I don't think that. I'm regretting because I think everyone hates me.
Wow.
But is it better to have engagement or to be hated? It's hard to know.
You could have both. Yeah. All right. Enjoy your dog walk.
Okay. So midday will be fine.
We'll be done.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, let's take longer. Let's ruin Claire's
12:15. Here we go.
Hates film. Ridiculous.
That's like, give me an example of a film she hates.
She was basically talking about the idea.
Does she mean film versus movies?
No, it's the idea of that like film as or screens as a medium has taken over art, like art forms.
Oh,
like
okay,
all
right.
Art forms. So like it's just. As opposed to
instead
like.
Instead of a literature.
Literature, going to see a something and whatever.
Going to
and
see
I'm like,
something.
Claire, that's a real snob situation, and I disagree. Yeah. I love film.
Yeah.
And what film I love the most?
A couple of noted slobs over here would be against that. Go on, James.
Is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Now, you must be just rubbing your little hands together.
That's right.
James, I told you so. Why did you get excited about Indiana Jones
that's
and the
right.
Dial of Destiny.
That's
what
right.
you're thinking. Aren't
yeah,
you? Look
right.
at you, so smart.
Oh, I hate to say I told you so, but
here's
a tepid response at Cannes, the fancy film festival for fancy film snobs that Claire would be banned for life from, I imagine.
Is a
but I would be there. Little cheese in hand, little canapé in hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's fun for you. Mm. Here's the Rotten Tomatoes headline, which came along with some of this, was Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny first reviews, safe, wacky, empty, critics say. Ooh. Here's some reviews that I can read out to you guys. This is from Vanity Fair. One can feel the four credited screenwriters grasping at inspiration and coming up short. What they did manage to make would be perfectly fine as a standalone adventure film starring some other character, but it's not worthy of the whip.
Like an Uncharted?
Like an Uncharted.
Okay.
Man, you know who'd be great in Uncharted?
Who's that?
Donnie Wahlberg. This is from the Times UK.
From one of the Saw movies.
Yeah, that's right. The second and other Saw movies. Mm. It's from the Times UK. The good news is that it's not as poor as Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. The bad news is it's not much better.
Uh-oh.
It's from Robbie Cullen. It ultimately feels like a counterfeit of a priceless treasure. The shape and the gleam of it might be superficially convincing for a bit, but the shabbier craftsmanship gets all the more glaring the longer you look.
You know what I like about all these reviews? Clearly they've had a little bit of time to rub their little hands together, Nick Mason style, and be like, what's a clever little bon mot I can put in there?
Worthy of the whip?
Worthy of the whip, or like, oh, it's a shabby counterfeit. Oh, just like Indiana Jones. Bleh.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Anyway, you're loving this, aren't you?
I'm not loving it.
James, I told you so.
You know what I'm loving? That this is massively lowering my expectations.
Well, that
so I
is
think
true.
Probably when I go in this, I'll be like, yeah, a bit of fun. Yeah. Probably a bit of fun. We were talking about, for Caravan of Garbage, we're going to be talking about the previous Indiana Jones movies. And I think maybe something we didn't talk about when we talked about Raiders of the Lost Ark is that was meant to be a done on the cheap, because Empire Strikes Back was so expensive for the time. That
didn't talk about that.
Let's kind of,
we'll shoehorn that into the other ones.
Let's just produce something that's, cheap and fun. But this is $300 million, a $300 million movie?
Yeah.
Well.
There is a section of the film, 25 minutes at the very least, at the start. This has been said everywhere, so I apologize if it is a spoiler.
Okay.
Where they de-age Harrison Ford, and it's like one of his old adventures.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
And just the idea to make it feel like one of the old ones, and the money you have to put in just to be like,
yeah, right. Uh-huh.
It's the '80s.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
It's the '80s again. Yeah, but if people are saying like that action sequence is murky and the de-aging like isn't good.
From the trailers, it looks amazing.
I mean, we only get like glimpses
probably do get the best versions of that.
So
also, I want one frame where it's Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah.
Just as young Indy. I think that would be fine.
Do you think somebody's going to deep fake that at some point?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, are you right in the sense of like going into this now, my expectations rock bottom?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think I'm hoping that I come out and go like, that's fine, and I'll move on with my life.
Because prior to this point, we were like, okay, Harrison Ford, he still loves Indiana Jones. James Mangold's made just great movies. So this is going to be great.
Well, I was saying that. You weren't saying
that. No, that's true. I was too busy rubbing my little hands together, covered in cheese and canapé dust.
So I'm very excited for this now, Mason.
Good. I'm loving that. Here's one bit of news. Speaking of film.
Film?
I don't know if you saw this, but sad news in the world of Hollywood. The Video Archives podcast announced this week that Rick Dalton has died at the age of 90 years old.
I did see that.
Now, for people who don't remember, Rick Dalton is Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Leonardo.
And also the Video Archives podcast, I didn't know, was Quentin Tarantino's podcast where he talks about old video stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's him and the Avery guy. What's the other guy?
Roger Avery.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who wrote some of Pulp Fiction with him. They have a podcast together and they talk about this. So they've just arbitrarily decided that Rick Dalton is dead now, which is fun. But I believe it is because Tarantino has a book coming out called The Films
of Rick Dalton is Dead.
That's right. Ha, 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 ha. It's called The Films of Rick Dalton because when he wrote Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he created his entire
filmography.
And it, apparently it's in a lot of detail, and there's stuff that was in that's not in the movie but is in the book, and it's going to be released pretty soon. So he's like, let's build some hype. And also people learn about the podcast.
That's right.
Like one of the world's most renowned directors.
I don't think I
had a
that,
podcast.
Yeah.
It's been going for some months and I had no idea that it was on.
You're going to give it a listen?
I'm going to give it a listen.
Wow.
But also it brings up the thorny problem of, okay, these are his films, but in what reality are these films?
Oh, like which?
Because Rick Dalton lives
in the Pulp Fiction reality, right?
Yeah, they're in the Pulp Fiction and Glorious Bastards reality. So is this the films of Rick Dalton as they relate to us in the real? Is there a real Rick Dalton, or is this a Rick Dalton in that reality, the world in which Sharon Tate was not killed by the Manson family because Brad Pitt's character killed them all, and the world in which Hitler did not die by shooting himself in his bunker at the end of World War II.
Eli
but in fact,
Roth machine gunned him.
Machine gunned him in a movie theater.
Yeah. I think that's the reality.
That's the reality.
I think the idea of isn't the turning like one of the that's the splitting off point in the Pulp Fiction reality,
yes,
whatever.
It seems that way.
Because Hitler suffered such a violent death that violence bled into
not only media, but then into the real world.
Yeah.
And so that's why you get a Rick Dalton killing somebody with a can of soup or whatever.
And that's why, like...
Or whatever Brad Pitt's character's name is.
And that's why, like, you know, in Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs, they're all talking... Yeah. They're all very media savvy and they're all talking... They're always talking about movies.
Yeah.
Which I believe... And we've probably talked about this before, but it was a Reddit fan theory about how all the Tarantino movies fit together and what reality.
Yeah.
And Tarantino, I believe, read this and went, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. That works.
I agree, and you're right. Yeah, so like Kill, if those people don't know, Kill Bill is a movie within that universe.
Yes.
And
so is Death Proof,
Death Proof and the other one, Planet Terror.
Yeah, yeah.
So those are the ones that are Machete.
Yes.
Those are like those kind of ones.
Mm.
Machete.
Spy Kids.
Spy Kids and Spy Kids 3D.
That's right.
Not Spy Kids 2, that's real. Mm.
That's right. That's real in one. The real world. That one was inspired by true life events in the Pulp Fiction universe.
Correct.
Anyway, that's a bit of fun, isn't it?
That is a bit of fun that a man who didn't exist died.
That's right.
Trailers ahoy, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
First up, we've got Extraction 2. I read Extraction Season 2. No, I hope it's called Extraction Season 2.
Wow.
Yeah. Jake Extraction is back.
That's right.
What's he looking for this time?
Sorry,
let me reframe that. What's he looking to do?
Get a lady out of a situation.
What's that called?
Jake Straction.
Yes, he's going to do a Jake Straction.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
In this universe,
yeah.
His exploits are so renowned, they've changed in the world of special forces, they've renamed Extraction to Jake Straction.
I'm sorry, we're gonna have to perform a tooth Jake Straction on you.
That's right. That's right.
I'm going to give you this numbing needle.
Mm, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's exciting.
We are going, okay, I mean, due to your various misadventures, we are going to have to Jake strike this from your bottom.
So apparently it's got a 21-minute one-er.
So it's going to look like a continuous sequence of events, no cuts. Is it real or is it – it doesn't matter, really.
No, it doesn't matter. My hope is, not that it – again, I agree, it says it doesn't really matter – that it's not faked.
Uh-huh.
Like 21-minute one-er, if you're promoting it that way, says to me that this is one take. Mm, but again, I don't – it's fine if it's not.
Yeah.
It's cool. I'm assuming it's the prison break where he lights his arm on fire. It's like that one that we see in one of the trailers.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, Jake Straction, he's doing good work.
Bit of fun.
He's doing lots of Jake Stractions.
Mm.
We also got a trailer for The Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes.
Which is the latest from Martin Scorsese. This one also got, I think, a 7-minute standing ovation.
Whoa.
And people are writing about it and saying, no, this one's good.
This was a good 7-minute. This was a good under 10-minute standing ovation, actually.
Absolutely.
It's all about tone and it's all about tone in these rooms you will never get to be in. So.
Exactly. Mm. So people obviously being like, Leonardo DiCaprio is great and Brad Pitt's great or whatever, but Molly Burkhart is apparently the standout performance in this.
Oh.
It's based on a real-life event. It was a series of murders.
That is correct, yes.
That are solved in its relation to oil and something and whatever.
Yes.
Oil and money. And
it is oil. In the early 1900s, oil was discovered in the lands of the Osage Native American nation, and a lot of sort of Osage elders got very rich on it because the government was like, okay, we could take all your money and oil.
But this one time we won't.
But then over this, like a series of decades, like a lot of these people ended up dead.
Yeah.
And a lot of it pointed to murder and like, you know, who's going to inherit the riches and who will be more inclined to sell this stuff off and et cetera. And some of those murders were solved. But I think this is the case that led to the founding of the FBI. Because like some of this is going across the borders. We're going to get Mulder and Scully on this. We're going to get old-time Mulder and Scully on this.
Or an UFO. We better get old-time Mulder and Scully on this.
That's right.
Now, what I thought was interesting about this, and this is via Deadline, Scorsese was talking about where he is at in life, and he says, this is how he starts it.
Oh, yeah, this is depressing.
Here I'm old.
Yeah, that's
right. That's how he starts it. I'm old. I read stuff. I see things. He didn't see the movie Joker, though.
That's true.
As we discovered.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though it was marketed off the back of him.
Mm.
I see things, I want to tell stories, and there's no more time. Kurosawa, when he got his Oscar, when George Lucas and Steven Spielberg gave it to him, he said, I'm only now beginning to see the possibility of what cinema could be, and it's too late. He was 83, and at the time I said, what does he mean? Now I know what he means. The whole world has opened up to me, but it's too late. It's too late.
Damn.
Fuck.
Damn, Marty. Okay. I don't think it is too late for you, Marty.
Marty! I mean, it is in the sense of like,
How old is he?
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't got 10 movies in him.
Oh, that's true.
You know, so... Yeah,
he's no Kevin Smith.
No, he's 80. Mm. So he could live and make movies for 10 more years.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would be, what, 3 to 4 movies or whatever? Mm. But, yeah, I can understand this. Like, he's clearly still an incredible director.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's the time.
Anyway, this looks very intriguing. Very interesting. I don't know if it's a movie we'd cover for this, but maybe.
Maybe.
It depends what else is out that week. But, De Niro's in it, obviously. DiCaprio, our favorite Irish actor. Lily Gladstone looks great. She's doing a lot of good. She doesn't speak in the trailer, but she's doing a lot of good face acting. Mm. I thought. Jesse Plemons is in this.
Yep.
Brendan Fraser is in this.
Yeah.
And John Lithgow is in this.
Oh,
very nice.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's not more focus on Brendan Fraser on this, considering he just won an Oscar.
There'll be more trailers, Mason.
There'll be more trailers, and I guess they'd probably set all this up in advance. Did you see this? A couple of people tried to. Brie Larson was at Cannes.
Oh yeah,
and she got like set up twice. They tried to trick her twice.
About what?
Okay, so first they asked
her. Was this like, do you hate men, Brie Larson?
Yeah, yeah, it's on that level. Here's one. They asked her, should Cannes screen Marvel movies?
Yeah.
And she said, I only know my perspective and I've never curated a film festival. So good work.
Nice.
That's good there. And then somebody asked her about Johnny Depp's opening film.
Because it's
screened at Cannes. And she said, you're asking me that. I'm sorry. I don't understand the correlation or why me specifically.
Oh, very good.
Just trying to squeeze some controversy out of Hollywood's most hated woman for existing.
Let me just check some YouTube because I bet they got some. We got some thumbnails from that one, Mason. Mm. Yeah, no, doesn't seem to be.
Or
nothing in the top of the algorithm.
Okay, right.
Oh no, that's from a year ago. It's like Brie Larson's very annoying, and she's rude.
She's rude.
So. The Killers of Flower Moon, just want to say it's out on 6th of October and it also goes for 3 hours and 26 minutes.
Very good.
So there you go. Mm. See how that goes. I still maintain the one. He makes terrific movies. Like Silence is really good. Did you see all that about the priests who.
I haven't seen it.
It's really great.
Okay.
And
I should give The Irishman another go.
See, I think the de-aging genuinely like fucks that movie.
But I think it was shocking like first time out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, what if I remember that exists when I go in and go.
Because it's not just the de-aging, it's like the physicality of them.
Yeah, that's true,
Like they've got old men bodies.
They should have youthified their faces then pasted them on young men's bodies, you know?
Or just recast.
Or recast, sure. I mean, I guess. No, they should have given them young men faces and then pasted them on the body of that bodybuilder from Free Guy.
All of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Joe Pesci, like,
yeah, that's exactly right, yes.
I'm young and I'm big.
That's right.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning got a trailer, part one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow. What an end to the Ethan Hunt saga. I nearly said Ethan Hawke.
Mm.
He's not in these movies, as far as I'm aware. Could be under a mask. But, you know, it shows all the things. It shows train stunts. He jumps off the thing and the whatever.
Mm.
Ethan Hunt's on the run. Is he going rogue this time?
Probably. But probably for good reason.
Exactly. You know? So... Nothing else much to really say here except I think this will do very well. They seem to build and build every time.
Yeah,
you know, they got the budget of that is $290 million.
Well, that's not Indy 5 money, is it?
No, Mason.
That's right.
And we've got another movie, The Creator.
Gareth
Edwards.
Now, Gareth Edwards directed Rogue
One. Sort
of
directed Rogue One. And
okay.
He also directed Godzilla. 2014, whatever
that's right.
It was.
Yeah, yeah. So I always confuse him with Gareth Edwards, who was the guy who directed The Raid.
I have a joke here.
Nice.
I'm sick.
You could have said I confuse him with Gareth Edwards, the Australian politician, who was around in the 90s for a bit.
No, no.
Okay, they parried him on the late show.
I confuse him with Peter Gareth.
He made some offensive
Peter
remarks.
There you go. Peter Gareth?
Peter Gareth.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not related to Peter Garrett.
Okay, that's
true. But, you know, I could say things. I'm still with it.
So The Creator is basically what if
amid a future war between the human race and the forces of artificial intelligence, for example, hypothetically, Joshua, a hardened ex-special forces agent grieving the disappearance of his wife, is recruited to hunt down and kill the Creator, the elusive architect of advanced AI who developed a mysterious weapon, the power of the end of the world and humankind.
Well, I was going to say, what if a guy who directed a Star Wars movie was allowed to direct another Star Wars movie that was slightly different and they couldn't stop him. Because it's certainly got that
it's got
that
the Rogue One aesthetic.
It's got
baby.
That aesthetic. If you look, and they've really lent into it. There's some posters that have come out recently, and they look very the guy.
The guy.
You know the guy? The designer guy. No, the guy.
Terry Gilliam?
No, but you're getting closer.
John Safran?
No, the guy that did all the old Star Wars art.
Gareth Edwards?
Gareth Edwards, that's right, yes. The politician.
Politician?
No.
What's his name?
You should know this, you're sick.
I'm sick, Mason. What the fuck's his name?
Everybody knows.
Drew Struzan. No.
That's the Indian.
That's the poster guy.
That's the photorealistic poster guy. It doesn't matter.
I'm going to have to actually Google this.
Okay, great.
Ralph McQuarrie. I didn't Google it.
He didn't Google it. It's true. We weren't here for 15 minutes. James slowly index finger tapped down on his computer.
Last bit of news, Mason. The CW's era of superheroes is over.
No.
This includes the cancellation of the Arrowverse series Justice U, which was upcoming.
Okay.
In addition to that, the female-led Zorro series and the Powerpuff Girls, which had a pilot a few years ago, then they went, yuck, we hate this, let's reshoot it, and then they didn't.
Now, what you're saying there specifically, it's a Zorro show and separately a Powerpuff.
Two separate things.
It wasn't Girl Zorro meets the Powerpuff Girls.
No.
Okay. But what a show that would be.
Yeah.
I'd
rather a Zorro movie.
What year is this, they'd say?
I want a Zorro movie. I don't want Zorro TV.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is isn't there another Zorro show with that guy from that 70s show that they're making?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And isn't it also allegedly that guy the worst, maybe?
Yeah, maybe they cancelled everything. Maybe it's all
But that's
canceled.
Different than this, though.
Yeah, it seems different than that.
Yeah, anyways. Uh-huh. Still up in the air for the moment, though, is Superman and Lois and Gotham Knights.
That's right.
It seems like they're going to cancel it, though. So Brad Schwartz, who you might know as the entertainment president at the CW.
I don't know that, but all right.
You might know.
Maybe.
I said might. Mm. Yeah, this to say. They were the hallmarks of the CW for a long time. As we look forward and try to make this network bigger and profitable, frankly, as much as we love these shows and they had their time, they're not working on linear.
Seems like an industry term we don't understand.
So apparently they're going to aim for a wider demo. At the moment, they're hitting the 18 to 34.
I mean, it's such a narrow demo these days of people who like superhero stuff. It's so narrow at this point. How do we get those viewers?
They're going for 18 to 49.
Okay, sure.
So it says the CW has lined its full schedule with shows. Now, you mentioned, like, what's worse than reality TV?
Oh, yeah, here we go.
But not as bad as AI.
Good memory, by the way, for someone who's sick and has bad diarrhea.
I'm just pretending to be sick. Oh. The diarrhea is real. The CW has lined its full schedule with shows that have already aired abroad. A cancelled cable show, AMC's 61st Street.
All right.
And the rejected reality show, HBO Max's F-Boy Island.
Oh, no. Okay, wow. All right, great. So
what's
reality
worse
shows,
than reality TV?
Reality TV that people didn't want and then it got cancelled. Great. Oh, didn't somebody...
I mean, this is cheap, though. If they can get this going and make and popularise this stuff, they're going to make fucking bank.
Because this is so cheap to do.
But it's also, it's like that thing of, you know when people make a here's an example that's relevant to us. If you make something different on a YouTube channel,
uh-huh.
YouTube and audience as well, often they just crush it. Just be like, no, and it'll just disappear. I feel like you have to pivot this whole thing.
Yes.
And it's possible, but I don't know whether going with a cancelled show called 61st Street and F-Boy Island is maybe the...
Which is a reality show that, let's be honest, was... based on a joke from 30 Rock from like 10 years ago plus.
Exactly. Now you're thinking of MILF Manor.
I'm thinking of MILF Manor, that's right, which is based on MILF Island. Okay, right. You're absolutely right. I don't have it here, but also this week I think there was a TV station was like, oh, well, we don't have to – you know, all the writers are on strike, but we've got a lineup that is absolutely strike proof.
It's
here. I don't have it here. I'll have to find it. But it's just the it's that level of dreck.
Oh man! And as you said earlier, there's so much stuff that you know I haven't watched. So I'm happy to. They can strike. They can take the year off, man.
Mm. Oh, here it is. ABC unveiled their strike proof fall 2023 lineup.
Here we go. Mm.
Monday, 8 p.m., Dancing with the Stars. Yes. 10 p.m., The Golden Bachelor. Tuesday.
What's The Golden Bachelor?
I think it's The Bachelor, but it's older people. Oh. Tuesday, Celebrity Jeopardy, Bachelor in Paradise. Wednesday, Judge Steve Harvey. Abbott Elementary repeats, What Would You Do?
What Would I Do?
Well, that's the show it's called.
Oh.
Thursday, Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, Press Your Luck, the $100,000 Pyramid. Friday, Shark Tank 2020. Saturday, Saturday Night College Football. Sunday, America's Funniest Home Videos, The Wonderful World of Disney.
Sounds great.
Yeah, terrific, right? What a wonderful
lineup. I know people obviously watch stuff like that, but that sucks.
Yeah, it's bad.
Your lineup sucks.
Yeah, that's bad. It sucks and it's bad.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's fun.
I think it's fun that a lot of the TV stations are producing stuff that sucks and is bad.
Yeah. They know that. Like, yeah. This is a bluff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't live off this.
Right?
You know that.
Me as an audience member. them
as a network.
Mm.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see how that develops over the coming weeks to months.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work. If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In the world of cinema.
Oh, yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is still holding strong. It had something like a 32 million US weekend.
All right, all right.
Which I feel also in the coming weeks it could, weekend to weekend, do better than Fast X, depending on how Fast X holds.
Here's a thought also, and this is probably not an original thought, but it opened up strong, and then there was kind of a drop-off.
Yeah.
And it seems to be...
It was a good drop-off, though.
Yeah, but yeah. Also I wonder if it's because, you know, a lot of people do Marvel repeat viewings when it's out at the movies.
And the movie's good.
And the movie's good. But I also wonder if people are like, I'm going to need a week.
Mm.
This one was pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe I'll need a week, and then I'll take a breath. And then I will come back and I'll watch it.
I know you said that's not an original thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's true because I've thought that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Never expressed it in any way.
I don't need to express every thought I have, Mason.
I think you do.
I could keep some things to myself.
It's 2023. You cannot. There's no money in it. you're right. On the treadmill.
Yeah, you're right.
Stop holding things in.
I'm sorry.
We could have made a video about that. I could have said, you know, people probably need a week off from watching Guardians. Pretty heavy stuff. And you could have said, I agree. And then...
Here's 10 reasons.
That's right. This is a bloke gets shot.
He didn't like it.
Pretty heavy, you guys, mate.
We're not going to spoil guys. No. I can see you nearly going to name one of the terrible things that happens in that movie. Mm. But we're also not going to spoil Fast X, not straight up.
That's right.
We'll do some vagueness.
Mm.
It's fine.
We'll do some of our famous vagueness.
All the spoiler stuff comes in like the last 10 minutes.
That's true.
Also,
the last X minutes, please.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. That's a, I was hitting my fist, but I was genuinely funny. I liked it. Anyways, we'll talk. We'll say spoilers when On a budget of $340 million.
And boy, you can see it on the screen. I'll tell you what. Most of the time. Sometimes you can. I don't know.
And then
you got to pay for those Oscar winners, baby. There's so many Oscar winners in this movie. There's at least three.
At least.
I think I'm undercounting, but there's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? Brie Larson.
Helen Mirren.
Statham?
It's
Ludacris?
No.
John Cena?
No.
Carr?
Yeah, Carr. I've lost. There's definitely another one. It's definitely.
Oh, the woman from West Side Story, original West Side Story.
Rita Moreno.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's won an Oscar.
Yeah, there you go. That's...
Also, did you know this? She's in these movies because Rita Moreno's grandson met Vin Diesel at the premiere of West Side Story and said, you should put my grandma in your movies. And he went, all right.
Ooh,
good idea. Will.
Here's something else.
I think it's four then. I'm blanking on the fourth, but there is another Oscar winner.
Okay, well, why
he's just collecting them.
I want to come back to the Rita Moreno thing.
Also, he did a Chronicles of Riddick with M from Bond movie. Dame Judy Dench.
I nearly said Judy Moneypenny.
Judy Moneypenny, baby.
Yeah, he knows how to rope in talent, Mason.
That's true.
So in addition to the three out of...
Charlize Theron.
Of course.
Yeah.
Monster. In addition to the $340 million it took to make, because also they lost its director the week it started filming. Ooh.
And then Louis Leterrier just jumped in.
Yeah.
No setup. He's just like, all right, I'll do it.
Well, he did Transporter with Statham and a bunch of other stuff.
He probably met Louis Leterrier. Vin Diesel probably met Louis Leterrier's grandson at the premiere of West Side Story.
Will you let my grandfather please direct a movie for you? Well, we already have a director for our latest
What
movie.
Is this? Who
it's,
are
it's, the, it's the kid. And okay. It's like, I'm sick, Mason.
All right. Where did he grow up? Where was he raised and educated?
I don't know.
All right. Out of space.
Anyway, in addition, it had $100 million in marketing.
Mm.
The box office return for this, the US opening weekend, was $67 million, which is the seventh highest for the Fast franchise.
Okay.
Which isn't great, but globally, it's made $252 million, which would make it about $320 million. In total.
Okay.
So globally it's doing very well. It has the number two global opening of the year behind Mario.
Number two global opening.
Thank you. What do you think the story was?
Oh, all right. Well, tell you what, things are looking good for the Fast crew.
Yeah.
They're having every weekend they're having barbecues and then they're doing a vague mission for an agency.
Beers and brews.
You know that
and
agency?
Babes.
Yeah. That weird agency that it's like sort of like the World Security Council from the Marvel Universe.
It's isn't it?
Just like shady dudes in silhouette on screens being like, I vote for terrorism or whatever this time.
I wouldn't vote for terrorism.
No, I would vote for terrorism either.
I would never put in a vote for terrorism.
I'd vote for kindness.
Me too.
But anyway, they're doing those missions and everything's looking pretty great and everybody's having a great time and Brian's looking after the kids, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
But then what's going to happen? But a specter from their past is going to show up.
Boo!
It's the Joker, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
Anyway, that's the movie.
Yeah, it is the movie.
Yeah, what did you think of this overall?
Okay, I will say this.
Yes.
Of the bad ones.
Okay.
Because, like...
Great start.
There's, like, a bunch of bad ones, obviously.
Bearing in mind, I also... If people are new listeners, I did not care for Fast 9.
No, I didn't
I would
like
say
that.
Overall, big fan of this franchise. 9 was a massive step down for me.
Yeah.
For reasons that I cannot remember.
Yeah. Also, Hobbs and Shaw, I did not like.
Oh, yeah, that one sucks also.
Yeah. But I think of the bad ones, this is... The best bad one.
Okay.
And it's because of Jason Momoa.
Mm.
And I think he's wonderful in his weird billowy genie outfits.
Oh, my God. He
that
loves,
rolling
a, he
around
loves a silky he loves a silky pair of slacks, doesn't he, this man? That's all just his own wardrobe, I'm pretty
it
confident.
It must be.
Yeah. I would say this. I felt this movie was like 90% super fun, just sort of very mainstream blockbuster, very charismatic people involved, you love them,
yeah.
And then 10% just absolutely irredeemable garbage. That's what I thought of this movie.
Well, you know, I think
we'll break that down later.
Definitely, I think
I maybe have a reason why you feel that way. Or I don't feel dissimilarly.
Uh-huh.
Is because everybody, every little adventure in this is like a different movie.
Mm.
So
at least partially because apparently Vin Diesel will not work with some of these people anymore.
But what that means is
yes.
that like you've got like the fun crew, which is like Han and Ludacris and
Tyrese
and Ramsey. And they're going off doing fun, silly little things. Mm-hmm. You got Michelle Rodriguez and Charlize Theron doing a thing. And then you've got just Vin Diesel alone.
Yeah.
Just wandering around being like, I don't know. And it's boring.
Right?
Yeah. Can you hang out with somebody, man? This is fucking boring. You're boring by yourself.
Hang out with your brother who you...
Oh, yeah, that's another story point.
Hang out with your brother who you reconnected with after 20 years of him being a super secret agent yeah. behind your back or whatever.
What's interesting about his brother in this, John Cena, or as I like to call him, Dom Cena,
nice.
Is that he's had a brain transplant.
He has. He's just John Cena now.
Which isn't a bad thing. No. I think... Nine is it's crap. Yeah. It's a crap movie. So
yeah, I mean, you could go okay. Well, in the last movie, he was so mean and straight laced because he was on a mission of revenge, and now that's all been cleared up because it was a slight misunderstanding.
Mm.
It turned out in the end, he's back to his old ways where he's a fun loving guy.
Yeah,
maybe that's why. But it's such a handbrake turn, James. I'd say that much.
That's a great way to put it. Mm. Yeah. There's lots of callbacks in this. I hope you like seeing locations and things from previous movies. I hope you remember, I should say.
I hope you like family. Because yeah. I tell you what, there's more family in this than there's ever been family in any of these movies ever before. We've reached family saturation. Wow. There's people in this you haven't thought about for like four movies. Suddenly they're like, I'm back and look at my family.
Who's that?
Vin Diesel's old wife. Remember her?
Oh, yeah.
She's got family now.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Mr. Sunglasses, his family's in this.
Oh, Mr. Sunglasses' family, yeah.
His family. Scott Eastwood's back.
Oh, yeah, shit, Scott Eastwood's in this. Fuck. That genuinely surprised me.
Yeah, he's in this.
Like, fuck, I remember him.
I think he's a beard now. I don't think he had a beard in 8. I think he's back, though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And they've got, like, God's Eye is back.
Yep.
Now it's on a little Palm Pilot.
Yeah, that's right.
That bridge is back.
Yep.
From 5.
Uh-huh.
The car that flips cars.
Yeah, that's in a... You see it in a room.
There's a room where you see the car that flips cars from 6.
Yeah, clearly Owen gifted a car flipping car to his brother. And just as you have this one.
Happy birthday, brother.
Thanks, I love you, brother.
Here's the question.
I love you, brother.
I love you, brother. Where's he? Where's Owen Shaw?
He was in...
He's not dead.
He's in 8, I want to say.
Is he?
Yeah.
Huh. All right, then.
I don't know.
All right, great.
We stopped at 7 for Caravan and Garbage.
Yeah, right.
So here's something interesting.
Yes.
Vin's mum, Rita Moreno. Yes. Listen to this. Listen to me when I say this.
Oh, yes.
That's his grandmother.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Listen to me, Mason, when I say this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's his grandmother.
Yeah, it makes sense because Dom Toretto's 30. So it would make sense that, yeah, you worked out. Okay, she's probably like, 65
Okay,
whatever.
So if you look at it this way, she's 91. In real life. By the way, an incredible 91.
Agreed.
Love all of that. Mm-hmm. Vin Diesel is 55.
Right.
It's technically possible.
Sure.
But bizarre.
It doesn't seem right, does it? Seems wrong.
I mean, it's just, I know he's like 40, right? He's 40?
Mm.
He's supposed to be 40? Because in the first one, he's supposed to be like 22, I assume.
Right, sure, yeah, okay.
So he's 40, right? Ish.
Yeah, I guess, sure.
And in that case, it's perfect. I love product placement, Mason.
Uh-huh.
I love the Samsung Fold phone,
oh, yeah.
where even on the screen of the movie, you see the big crease down the middle of it. It's really selling that.
Chop it out. The boffins in the visual effects department. Well, we can't get the fold. We can't get the crease out.
We tried to take it out. And it came back stronger.
I put a crease on my computer. I don't understand.
Hot Wheels.
Mm.
The video game.
Right.
Corona.
Oh, yeah.
Stella Artois.
Ooh.
Coca-Cola.
Some sort of Belgian beer, probably.
Yeah. Coca-Cola, purple Coca-Cola, British Fanta.
Ooh.
These are all good things that I enjoyed in this movie, Mason.
Nice, I love those. I love all those.
I think some of the CGI in this is a bit ropey. There's some green screen, blue screen situations which don't look great.
Mm.
Especially there's some outdoor segments. There's a bit on a bridge which looks like they're obviously not really on a bridge.
But I think I liked all the locales generally.
Yeah, then there's bits within that. There's a moment in Rome where Dom reverses his car down a flight of stairs and it just looks
Very odd, yes.
Terrible.
Mm.
That's when he's playing foosball with a bomb.
That's right, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, with ping pong situation that's going on. But again, all of this is kind of like...
You know what you're going in for.
You know what you're going in for, but I feel like there's an unreality to moments in this which the better ones, or even the better sequences in this, don't have.
Yeah, I mean, if they were better at tightening those up and making it feel like, okay, well they are playing foosball with a big bomb that's rolling down the street. Yeah. If that felt more real, you would be more inclined to. Like, you'd be less taken out of it, I think. Yeah. But then I think also they're probably like, well, the fans are here for ridiculous stuff and ridiculous interactions and what have you, which I think, again, the standout of this movie is probably Jason Momoa.
Definitely.
People talk about Jason Momoa of like, he's a big guy and he's just being a big tough guy kind of thing. But, like, if you look at most of the roles he's done, you get this, you do, like, Aquaman, Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones.
GOT.
Yeah, and Duncan Idaho.
Yeah, sure.
They're all wildly different.
Conan
the Barbarian.
Baywatch Malibu.
Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah.
Like he's got range.
I agree.
Yeah, and he's great in this. He's the Joker.
Yeah, he is the Joker.
He's the son of the bad guy from Five, as we know.
Yes.
And he's out for revenge.
Everyone's de-aged for some reason. They don't need to be, but they are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And he's there. He's chewing up a storm. He's chewing up a storm of scenery.
That's right.
And it's good.
Yeah. It's interesting because every time like Vin Diesel or somebody gets out of the Joker scenario, which is put in his way, he has a second and probably third and fourth Joker scenario ready for him.
That's right. Yeah.
Every time he's like, well, you thought you got out of this, so there's actually an even bigger car or a bigger bomb. And
that's right.
You didn't know and whatever.
Yeah.
It's funny because that all like culminates in this moment at the end when he's like, this is where I meant to get you here. It's like there's no way you could have like done any – like
Right.
Yeah, the fact that you thought he would have lived this far is ludicrous to me.
And you're not just talking about Chris Bridges. I'm not talking about
Chris Ludicrous Bridges. Let's talk about him, man.
Although there's some ludicrous stuff happening on Bridges.
There certainly is. So they have the
– in honor of Chris Ludicrous Bridges, I have to imagine.
So they have a little adventure where they have to go get a – they get hacked. They don't have any money and have to go get a whatever. So they go into a PC shop and they meet Pete Davidson in Britain.
Mm-hmm, sure.
He's like, hello, but I'm not British. I'm just Pete Davidson.
Yeah. Because this is a soundstage in Malibu or whatever.
And Ludacris and Tyrese have a little punch-up in the shop, which is a fun moment, I guess. There's a moment at the end where he throws like dust at the light.
Where'd he get the dust?
What's happening?
I don't know.
Is that it? Like, what is that?
Is that his signature move?
I don't know. Yeah, like, because it's not a magic trick either. No. It's like presented like it's magic. Han also unhallucinates in that scene.
Yeah.
He's eating a muffin, which has hallucinogens in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, ooh. And then he just puts the top back on it.
Yeah.
And he stops hallucinating.
Like he's closing a jar of jam something. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that's in there. That feels like one of those Transformers moments where it's like,
it does feel why is like there that.
A, why did this scene happen? This movie's already too long. You could just chop that and it wouldn't matter. Like if you just snipped the bit where he ate the muffin and snipped the bit where he hallucinated, it'd just be him looking at Ludacris and Tyrese and going, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you go, well, and I guess they were like, well, they need to have him do something in this scene. So
it's interesting because that
I'm glad to have Sun Kang back as
Oh yeah,
as
he's great. And 39, according to his dating profile. Mm. It's interesting because that team, and I guess others, do things that Dom would never do. Like he'd never go into a PC repair shop. Dom would never do that. He'd never get high, either accidentally on purpose. Like he'd never fly economy, which John Cena is doing. You would never get Dom Toretto in a fucking economy seat on these.
Has he ever been on a plane? I mean, besides like a troop transport.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's been in plenty of planes where he's in a car in a plane. Does he only get into planes if he can be in a car in a plane?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
There's a moment also where he tips a car one-armed.
Mm.
Remember that bit on the bridge? Yeah. He just these incredible strength has come back. There's a moment where also they have to travel back, the nerd team, in a shipping container, but it's filled with cologne bottles.
Uh-huh.
And when they get out, they're like, oh, too much cologne in there. Did you break all the bottles in there? Maybe this one's not cologne. Oh, no, it's cologne. What's happening? What are you doing? Silly Mason.
They're doing comedy, James, and you fell for it. You fell for it.
Here's the thing, though, like, it's not funny, right? Is it funny?
I think some of it is kind of funny.
Is it, though? I don't feel like anybody's writing anything.
I think it's more funny than
Nine. I mean, somebody would have had to, like, wrote a shipping container full of cologne and all the cologne bottles are broken. But also,
maybe that's how cologne is shipped these days and they don't care and they're like, well, as long as some of it makes it, we don't care. We'll smash these shipping containers together.
Did you like how Peter Overton was in this?
Who's that? Oh, from Channel 9
News. The Australian news reporter. Is he in any of the other ones? I feel like I've seen him in maybe Moonfall or something. He's the go-to. That was you've seen in the trailer, but a big bomb goes off in Rome or something.
That's right. A neutron bomb.
And they're like, a big bomb went off
Olivia
in Rome.
Olivia neutron bomb.
That's right. A big bomb went off in Italy, but luckily nobody was killed.
You sure?
That's lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Also, the point of a neutron bomb is it goes off and, like, the building stays standing, but everybody dies of radiation poisoning.
Ah.
So you sure that isn't what happened? They should have just said it was a big regular bomb. I don't know.
A big regular bomb went off. But
bigger than you've ever seen going in the streets of Rome. It's the biggest Roman bomb I've ever seen.
Jack Reach is in this.
That's right.
And the reason that
Alan Richson.
The reason he can't be persuaded to join Dom's team is because he's like, I hate barbecue. I don't like barbecues.
That's right. But he's the new head of the agency. Which
that's right.
Previously, a role previously held by Mr. Sunglasses.
He's the biggest man in the world.
Alan Richson, really is. Mm. I mean, not as big as Dom Toretto.
No, well,
they're
sorry,
even.
He's the second biggest
he
man.
He also
in the
has
world.
Alan Richson's character has, like, on all his shirts, he has like this shoulder thing. And I'm like, is that a shoulder holster for a gun? It's not. It's just this weird, is it a
like
rank?
A pattern, is it?
It feels like a rank badge or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, I like him.
Same.
He's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no Scott Eastwood.
That's true.
He's in these movies for a minute.
Yeah. Should we, let's, I think that maybe that's the first moment we should talk about in spoilers.
Scott Eastwood. Okay.
Is the role of Scott Eastwood in this movie. So what are we saying? I'm going to say best movie ever. I had fun with this, but I, you know.
I don't know, man.
I think maybe this is one of these movies where the mood I was in determined whether I enjoyed it or not.
I didn't like the way it wrapped up, like it would, like it's like the promise of things to come. It was like the laziest.
Well, we got to talk about that, certainly.
Avengers Infinity War ending.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was just kind of
at least
like.
At least Avengers Infinity War ended on a thing that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So, look, I guess I would say for these, it's one of the better bad ones.
Okay.
Jason Momoa gets it across the line. There's a lot of people in these that I like. So I guess, I mean, I say best movie ever, but you need to just know what this is.
Yeah.
So if you don't like these, this is not going to.
Oh, this is not going to persuade you at all.
No.
This is maybe not the, if you've never seen one, this is not the one. I think you would understand the rough plot.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you'd need somebody there to be like, no, that character's new. No, that character's been here for 20 years.
That character's dead.
Yeah.
No, they're not now, but they were dead.
They were dead and now they're back. Yeah, they lost their memory for a minute, but then somebody said, remember who you are.
Yeah.
And let's go to a weird drag race in the desert.
Yes.
And you'll remember.
Oh, yeah, Jason Momoa just has pictures of all the other movies.
He sure does, yes.
Just seen
even Scott Eastwood. He's even got a picture of Scott Eastwood. Anyway, I'm going to say best movie. What are you going to say?
Yeah, I guess.
You're going to say you guess best movie.
I guess it's the
best
movie.
Okay, now we're in big-time spoiler
territory. Bearing in mind for what it is.
Yeah.
For what it is,
Right, okay.
It's one of the it's got some very entertaining stuff in it.
It's got some very entertaining stuff in it, like Scott Eastwood.
Man.
Anyway, big-time spoilers. Here we go. First thing is, so the reason the dumb team go to Rome, the fun team, they go to Rome because they're tricked into thinking they have a mission in Rome, the agency, the very vague agency.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's probably, they could just say it's the CIA, but I think they probably don't because a lot of the places they go were ruined by the CIA.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, why would Dom work for, you know, anyway. But they're sent to Rome on this mission, but it turns out they haven't been sent to Rome on a mission. Tyrese has been tricked. And actually it was Jason Momoa getting him there so they could blow up the Rome with a neutron bomb.
Yes. Regular bomb.
And Scott Eastwood's like, we didn't send him on a mission. And then he falls out of a car and then he's never mentioned again. And surely he could be like, oh, no, they got tricked.
Yeah.
He could talk to Alan Richson and be like, they got tricked, actually. So this is not their fault. But now he's too busy sitting by the side of the road, I guess.
Also Alan Richson.
Yes.
He's a bad guy.
He's the bad guy.
The whole time he was the bad guy.
I knew he was the bad guy the whole time.
Did you?
Because you could see him at the start of the movie. He's in the flashback.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So.
We flash back to the flashback later, and then he's the guy sitting in the chair. But it's obviously a guy
who's like enormous.
I was like, is that John Cena? Like, that's an enormous man. Is it John Cena? No, it's not John Cena. Well, it has to be Alan Richardson.
Oh, yeah. I didn't notice that at all. I was too busy being wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
Oh, Shaw reappears, obviously. Mm. There's a moment where, so he's got a punching bag. He's doing some punches.
He's done that before. Kicks. He did it in Hobbs and Shaw, I think.
Where there's a guy in the punching bag?
Yes.
What I liked about that is, for a second, I thought the guy who busted out in his underpants was that guy we talked about from the previous.
The car dealer.
The car dealer who. Yeah. Who's in his underpants? They made waddle away in his underpants.
He's just been
for a second.
He's
I
just
thought
been wandering the streets of London in his underpants for years.
I thought it was him.
Yeah,
for a split second.
Well, so that man gets beaten up, presumably for hours, and then he gets hit by a car and he just walks away. He's fine. Man.
Yeah. I didn't mention this. This is not really a spoiler, but I thought all the John Cena stuff was fun because he's just allowed to be like, I'm a fun guy. I'm a fun cool. Yeah. I got a fun car. I've got a bat plane.
Okay, a few things though there. So we spend most of that trip thinking he's got like a surfboard in a bag.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be a jet drone glider plane or whatever.
Yeah.
So they just let him on the plane with that, did they? I know one of the air stewards is on his side or whatever.
He's got special CIA privileges.
He's got special CIA privileges. Then why did he get on that plane? Why can't he get on a different plane?
But he didn't.
He didn't. That's true. Anyway, they launched. Also, I feel like his car, you know, his Canon car, was just made from the ground up to like paper over plot holes.
Of what?
Like, I feel like there must have been, they're in the writer's room and they're like, okay, so we're going to need, he's going to be driving in the car with Dom Toretto's kid, and we're going to need Jason Momoa to get him out of it, steal the kid out of the car.
Yeah.
And they're like, how could you get the kid out of the car? He's in the car. What if he wasn't in the car? What if he was on the car? Why would he be on the car? I don't know, maybe he's got to fix something on the car. What could you need to fix on a car? I don't know, a cannon? Maybe the car's got cannons on it and he's been using the cannons and one of the cannons jams. So the kid gets on the car to unjam a cannon and then Jason Momoa shows up and steals him or whatever.
I like your thinking.
And then later it's like, well, how's John Cena going to sacrifice himself? But not really, but he has to film Peacemaker season 2. So he's going to need to leave for a movie and then come back in 12.
Yeah, yeah.
How are we going to let him sacrifice himself? I don't know. Maybe the cannons can
tilt down.
Tilt into the ground.
He can
Mario Kart himself across the rainbow road.
I don't often laugh out loud like in anything.
Ever, really.
But I really got me. Just the sincerity of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's serious faces.
Because he's so goofy for the entire movie and then he's like, well, now it's time to be very serious, sincere man and make the big sacrifice. I'll do it by firing my car into the air with four cannons. And then he just flips it and everybody's like, oh, no, you do it. You could have done almost anything else. I don't know what you're doing.
Fired the cannons at him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would probably be one of the things.
Also, and there's never any explanation.
He also made Dom's son a murderer.
That's true. Hey, kids, shoot these cannons. But, I mean, they're already setting him up for that.
Yeah,
he's like 10 or 8 or whatever, and they're like, drive this car.
Go, little Brian.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah.
Man,
I wish regular Brian was here.
Yeah.
Then Vin Diesel would have somebody to talk to.
That's right. Okay, I don't know. I can't remember your thoughts on this. I think you were like, he's going to be back. I think you're right.
Who?
Brian.
100%.
I think he's going to be in the post credits in 11,
and then
he's going to be in 12.
Yeah, because this is a trilogy now.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's.
How are they going to Infinity War the ending to the next movie?
Well, that's a good point.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. They're waiting for the technology is there.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably going to be like, okay, well, we need to perfect this.
Mm.
Like, as much as some of this didn't look great, I think if they're going to put Brian back in,
yeah,
they're going to probably use his brothers to stand in and then do the face and the voice thing.
Yep.
They're going to need a couple of years because if it looks even slight, because this guy is, it's not like a Mark Hamill thing. Like, Paul Walker is literally dead.
He's dead, yeah.
If this looks even slightly flawed, but they have to do it at this point. They've absolutely set it up.
You need to give Vin Diesel someone to talk to.
Someone to talk to, even if it's a robot man.
I know he talks to people during this and he meets like his ex-girlfriend's sister and all of that. Danielle Melchior, who I like.
Who scrubs up quite well when she's not covered in rat droppings.
Yeah,
I thought. Actually a very attractive woman.
What?
Yeah,
no, I didn't.
Yeah.
I only see everybody as family in this, so I'm not attracted to anybody.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, God. Just so that ending. So yes. Jason Momoa's entire plan.
Yes.
Was to lure Vin Diesel and his son.
Now, okay, but before that, was it to also separate him from his family or something?
Yeah.
Okay. And he did that, didn't he? He did that quite early on.
Yeah.
But it's also, it wasn't, he didn't, he didn't separate him from his family in the sense of like everybody's going, you betrayed me, Dom Toretto, or whatever. It wasn't like
no, they just weren't in the same
It wasn't
room.
Like Eight or something where they're yeah. like, you've gone bad, Dom Toretto, or like well, you've caused us to you've caused a real split or whatever. They were just in separate places.
Yes,
is like success.
Yeah,
all right, good.
I've done it now.
Yeah. You could have just waited till he went down the shops.
Would you like to have a street race with me,
mm.
a mad genie?
Mad genie and disgusting hag Daniela Melchior and that guy from a previous movie because we got to kill somebody.
Was he in a previous movie?
I think he's in one of them maybe.
Great.
Yeah.
I hope he's all right.
He wasn't the last guy we saw who was like, Dom, you're back and we love you.
We love I'm race wars.
I'm a street race guy. You know, he wasn't.
Dom, I'm a street race guy.
You remember me.
Yes, I remember you. So yeah, anyway, so he lures him to a dam
mm-hmm.
after he pulls helicopters out of the air and whatever, right. et cetera.
That's right, and I'm going to destroy you in a way you could never imagine.
And I knew you'd
crush you with a couple of trucks.
I meant to steal your son from John Cena's car and then you steal your son back.
Mm, that's right.
And then you'd get here at
All
this
part
point.
Of my plan, that's right.
Anyway, so he's got two remote control trucks and they're coming in. And just before that happens, Alan Rickman...
He shoots down the plane that's got the fun team on it.
Yeah.
The fun team are in a plane. They're like, we're coming to get you, Dom. And he's
also,
like,
also, what was their plan? Just to fly by?
Yeah. Dom would have figured out the rest.
I guess he would have figured out the rest.
He would have driven up the side of the, he would have driven up the dam instead of down the dam. And they would have opened the cargo bay and he would have driven his car into the plane and they would have flown off.
Yep.
Yeah, his indestructible car, which fell out of a plane earlier and landed on two cars and was fine.
And they exploded.
They exploded. His car was completely fine, which I know was in the trailer, but it's still staggering when it's just like not a scratch.
Yeah.
Incredible.
You forgot one thing. You left him in my car. You shouldn't have left him in my car.
That's right.
Anyway, he drives off the edge of the dam. Mm-hmm. And he goes down the dam, and you think he's safe. And he's like, I love you, Brian, little Brian.
Well, actually, this was my plan all along. I'm a genie, and I know the future. So guess what? I put bombs on the dam. So even if you drove down the dam, you'd drive down the dam.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
I'm going to blow up the dam, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that.
Hey, I'm going to blow it up.
The end.
Mm.
Fast and Furious Infinity War.
That's right. But not quite the end. Because we get a final scene.
Yeah.
And we also. Like,
before we do that, I guess.
Yes.
What a bullshit ending.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, at least with Infinity War, it built towards, like.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to do this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then in the end, he did it.
Uh-huh,
he does it, and it's like devastating.
Mm.
And half the people are wiped out.
Yeah, yeah.
They did the same thing where, like, half the people are wiped out.
Yeah.
Because they all died on that plane,
they
Mason.
Sure did.
And Scott Eastwood died when he fell out of that
car.
Nah,
but you know what? Mr. Agent Sunglasses has saved him.
I
they
agree.
Were in a different plane, I reckon.
They're
probably in a virtual plane.
Yeah.
They were probably flying that plane by remote, but actually they were in a truck.
You might be right. You're probably right. It's something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But just the idea in the last 2 minutes that, like, now I'm going to blow up this dam. And then it ends.
Yeah, right.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's nothing. Come on, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, so what's interesting, because we get a final scene before the credits and then we get a mid-credit sequence. And if your only exposure to the Fast and Furious movies was you watch the movies like a normal person,
yeah.
I reckon you would think that those scene should be in the opposite order. But if you know the behind-the-scenes drama, they're in the correct order. So, like, the post-credit sequence is that Luke Hobbs is back, right? Which is only significant because he's still alive in these movies. It's only significant if you know that he had a massive falling out with Vin Diesel and you didn't think he'd ever come back and now he's back. So that's the mid-credits.
Yes.
But the scene where... you thought Giselle died 4 movies ago, but now she's back and she's alive and she's a submarine captain now. That's a bigger reveal, technically, I think.
You're absolutely right.
But now she's back and she's saving the life of Cypher and Letty.
Because she's a submarine
captain. She's a submarine captain now. And she hasn't talked to anybody. Do you think there cannot be a reveal where she and Han are still in contact?
I assume not.
He's because he's been sad for several movies.
He's 39 and he's single.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I should point. I liked the Michelle Rodriguez Charlize Theron stuff.
Yeah, we didn't mention that at all. They had their little adventure.
That's a good pairing.
Yeah, and also, you know what? They clearly do not have rules in their contract
because they hit each other a lot.
They hit each other, and there was it. That felt like a real.
That was the best fight.
That was the best fight where they just thump each other for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
The moment where Letty pushes Charlize Theron through the second floor window and they smash on all the medical equipment. Yeah. What a shot. That's great. I agree. That's in one of the trailers, I think, but it's like, ooh, that hit hard. That hits hard.
That hit hard, it hit fast.
That's
and
right.
Furious.
That's right.
Crossroads, the video game. Great game. Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's up at bigsandwich.co now if you want to watch me play the Fast and Furious video game and just have a really good time
you
doing it.
You're having a good time. You're always having a good time.
I am always having a good time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but the Hobbs reveal, what I was talking about last week, because when we mentioned, because they spoiled it. They said The Rock is in this movie.
The rap was like, he's in it.
Apparently there's been talks for months, but this was shot relatively recently. And it does feel that way.
Yes.
Hobbs goes into a room and he's like, you're the one who actually shot my father.
A man who could be anyone goes into a room.
A man of a certain size.
That's right. An enormous man wearing a
tactical
balaclava. Wearing his famous gloves.
Yeah.
His famous little gloves.
He goes in and they're like, and he's like, oh, you're the one who shot my father in the head, which is true.
Mm.
And he's like, I'm going to come and find you. And The Rock takes his mask off.
Mm.
And guess what?
It's The Rock.
He does have his goatee.
He does, doesn't he? It's a little grayer.
It's a gray goatee, which I appreciate.
Because he's older and wiser, yeah.
And he goes, well, I ain't hard to find, you some bitch.
Nice.
What is the character? Is he like a guy who says some bitch?
Yeah, I think he is.
He doesn't say son of a bitch.
You know what we're also
going to
get out of this? I think we're probably going to get Ryan Reynolds in this, and we're going to get Rob Delaney in this.
Sure.
Because they're in Hobbs and Shaw. Speaking of Shaw, Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe they'll even have some people in the same room.
Maybe.
As each other.
Here's a thought I also had.
Yeah.
How inevitable do you think Fast and Furious Transformers is? You know, I had that thought when the trucks are about to crash into Vin Diesel, I'm like, oh, what if one of these was Optimus Prime?
You know what? It's interesting.
They're different movie studios, but
there was a moment when Dom Cena, the character, was being pursued,
uh-huh.
and he was in his weird jalopy machine with its cannons on the side.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, I like that John Cena's in this. I really liked him when he was in that other movie in this franchise, Bumblebee. And then I was like, I had a moment, I'm like, oh no, this isn't the Transformers franchise. This is a different franchise.
Yeah. But I think it's maybe just a matter of time before Universal swallows up Paramount or vice versa.
Yeah.
And they're just like, you know.
Yeah, why not?
Together, why not? They could all have their own.
Dom Toretto Optimus Prime.
Letty could ride RC.
Yep.
She's a motorcycle
girls.
Type. Girls and motorcycles that work together.
That's right. The nerds could ride the nerd ones.
The Asian Transformer.
Yes, that's right.
Because there's one.
That's how they would do it. Yeah. The hacker would be with Perceptor.
Yes.
Because he's a big nerd too.
Jason Statham is the... There's a British one.
There's a British one.
Cogman. he could team up with Cogman.
This is perfect.
What are you doing, Cogman, he could say. What are you bloody like, Cogman? What are you bloody like?
Cogman, it was out of control.
That guy was out of control. Madness.
I guess I'm not going to say that like I'm not looking forward to the next thing because they're just piling in more and more people, and we are barreling towards a Brian reunion because there's only so many things that can happen, and they just go, well, Brian's busy.
Yeah,
you can't.
I felt
You can't. You're either going to have to. You're going to have to kill him or you're going to have to bring him back.
You're going to have to Brian or get off the pot, you know what I mean?
That's right, exactly.
Do a big Brian or get off the pot.
That's right.
Because they did – initially I thought they weren't going to mention him at all because there's towards the start they're just like, yeah, this is happening and this is happening. And then
They do the Brian –
at the midpoint, Brian's got the kids and everything's okay or whatever.
But then they do the Brian died song. They play the song and they look at photos of Brian. He's like, man, I wish I had someone to talk to in this movie.
Right. I wish I hadn't alienated everybody. Except that one guy.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
These are fun.
I love when they cut to the wedding photo of Letty and Dom, and Dom's wearing like a white wife beater. Like, you don't remember that? Like a crisp white wife beater.
It's in the movie.
Yeah, I know. I just think it's funny every time. Not even a button-up shirt.
Not even
a tucked-in shirt for your wedding. Are you kidding me? Have a sense of occasion, Dom. You wear one to a funeral, a button-up shirt.
Yeah,
Come on. Anyway, we don't have a ton of time, so we should probably
Claire
needs the studio.
She does. This is from C-Ray, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Of course Dom can outrun a fucking neutron bomb shockwave. Worst movie ever. This is from Mario. The best part of Fast 10 were the scenes that showed clips of Fast 5. The movie was all right fun, but way too over the place to care for what was going on. Jason Momoa felt like he was doing his best Joker impression. Worst movie ever? Alexander says, just off Fast X, Jason Momoa is doing his best Joker and Dom is a physics genius. Entertainment for sure. Pump for the next one. Mark Evs, 55, says, just saw Fast 10, felt like Vin Diesel was out of place in his own movie. Everyone else was quipping the whole time. It was like he was Batman and everyone else was in a Marvel movie. Somehow still greatest movie ever. And Dan says, pro tip, if you're making a vanity project to show off how tough and badass you are, don't hire John Cena, Jason Momoa, and Alan Ritchson to act alongside you.
Yeah.
They're all bigger and have far more charisma than you.
Ouch, but yes.
No, I think it's good to hire people who are better than you around you.
Yeah.
It elevates your performance. Not in this case, but often that is the... And there is something funny about Dom just like muttering and just walking around himself being like... Blah, 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 you know?
That is
just
true.
Just a man losing his mind.
Yeah. One, you know, he shows up for the final battle in his indestructible car and everybody else has just sorted everything else out. They've just negotiated a surrender. Yeah, we did it. It's fine, actually. Don't worry about it.
Because even when... Because the most scenes he has is with Danielle Melchior. Mm. But even when, like, he's in, like, a big shootout on the bridge...
Uh-huh. I forgot he... At one point, he uses a car door as a shield to deflect a bunch of bullets, yes.
But even, like, in those scenarios, he doesn't feel like he's there with anybody else.
Yeah.
Which he was. Like, he's got a scene with Brie Larson and stuff this as well. And
oh, yeah, she's Mr. Sunglasses' daughter.
Yeah, that's
There's so many characters. We haven't even covered all the characters.
She's Little Sunglasses.
These Little Sunglasses. And initially I'm like, does that mean she's Scott Eastwood's brother? No, they're not related.
Maybe, though.
Maybe they are, though. Maybe it'll be revealed.
Yeah, good stuff. Anyways, let's move it along.
Isn't it amazing that Brie Larson's just in this?
Yeah.
She's just like, I'll be in this, why not?
Yeah.
I've won an Oscar.
Remember the bit where she goes into the bar and she's like, I'm here to see someone. And they're like, we're going to have a big fight.
Yeah.
And then, but like, you don't have to come in and be rude. You could just be like, I'm just here to see Dom. She was rude, basically.
Yeah, it's Dom Toretto. I mean, he's there. He's the bald man in the white beater sitting in that. Come on.
All right, let's move it along.
Let's move it
along.
What's
the segment called?
It's called What We Readin'.
Yeah.
What We Gonna Read.
Wow, two great segments.
That's right.
I'm doing the thing. What have you been reading?
That's a great question, James, and the answer is nothing. So this week for me, it's going to be what I'm going to read. So I brought it in. Oh, the dog's back.
Hey.
The dog can open the door now. The dog can open all the doors, get smart style to the movie studio. But you might recognize this.
The movie
studio? This is what I'm going to read. It's from Amal El Motar. It's a short novel called This Is How You Lose the Time War. Now, people might recognize this from Twitter because last week a man by the username Bigolus Dickolus recommended this. And they were like, don't look up anything about this. Just you should get it. It's just a good, entertaining kind of sci-fi novel.
It's not based on The Time War, which is another
book. No, but the post went viral and then the book ended up on a bunch of bestseller lists all of a sudden. So that's the power of Twitter, baby.
What's it like?
I don't know yet. I haven't read it.
I'm going to read that too.
Okay, you should read it. There's a blurb on the back from author Madeline Miller who says, this book has it all, treachery and love, lyricism and gritty action, existential crisis and space opera scope, not to mention time-traveling super agents. It's a fireworks display from two very talented storytellers.
Two authors,
Amal El Motar and Max Gladstone. So there you go.
Malcolm
A romantic Gladwell. Tour through all of time and the multiverse. Sounds like a bit of fun, eh?
Multiverse, yuck, I'm sick of it.
Yeah, we're all sick of multiverse. It came out in, I think, maybe 2019.
I remember 2019.
It hasn't had a big...
And now it's doing well.
It's doing very well, so I'm excited to read that.
Well, I watched the movie Renfield.
Oh, Renfield, hey?
Remember that Nicolas Cage is Dracula?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a big Dracula. And Nicolas Holt's like, I'm codependent on
Dracula. I'm little
Dracula. I'm little Dracula or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. And it's good?
Yeah, it's a bit of fun.
Okay,
it's very gory.
Mm, interesting. Because we didn't get that at the same time as the US.
No. Mm. But it's on streaming if you have VPNs, et cetera.
Oh, interesting. Very nice.
Which is maybe how I watched it, but who's to say?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think, it's a bit of fun.
Mm.
I feel like the premise could have been like, all the Nicolas Cage Renfield stuff is really good, but it's got a bunch of mob stuff in it, and I don't know whether like that direction that particularly holds up. The Dracula stuff is more interesting than the other stuff.
Yeah,
is what
right,
I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move it along, Mason.
Okay.
To what we reading?
Oh yeah, no, we've done what we reading.
To what we gonna read? Here we go.
What? Letters. We do letters.
Are you?
I'm going to do letters, James. Yes. Really. It goes like this.
The classic one was
Letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
We're going to hear right now, we're going to do letters.
People didn't know I got rhythm, but I do.
Mason, that is so true, yes.
If you want to reach the show, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter or WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com.
Oh, yes.
Claire's coming in the other room to set up, I can see, for her
podcast.
Oh,
yes, very good.
She thinks she's better than us
because
she talks to real people.
That is true.
But we're
thoughts
real.
And opinions.
We're real.
Are we?
We're real.
Okay, if you say so. Here's an email from Ali. And he says, extra in Fast and Furious.
Oh, my God.
So this is a bit of a brag. My wife was an extra in Fast and Furious 6 in the scene in London. Her and a load of other girls from the extras agency were told to wear nightclub attire. Once on set, they were all told to line up. The first AD arrived and went down the line stating, hot, hot, not, not, hot, not.
Nice.
Before another AD went up to them and said, he can't say that. He turned and said, okay, everyone I said was hot, you're in group one. Everyone I said not, you're in group two. Carried on down the line going group one, group one, group two. Right, everyone in group two go home, everyone in group one line up.
Sounds like his wife made it though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. at which point Justin Lin came out and then hand-selected some extras for the scene. His wife had a great time at set, although she's never watched the movie.
That's bizarre.
So that's a bit of fun, isn't it?
God.
I imagine it's not like that anymore.
I bet it is sometimes.
It might be, yeah.
God,
yeah, it's also mean.
Why are you being mean?
You're right.
Yeah. So beauty's subjective, idiot. That's what I would have said if I was there.
Yeah.
Well, I have some tweets here, Mason.
Oh, yes.
Which you can reach by hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod. This is from Stuart Fletcher who says, sometimes when I quote you or Wikipedia brand of people in my life, I say, my friend said this. Can that be the officially approved by the podcast? Hi, Claire.
Hello, I need the thing.
Yeah, well, we're recording a podcast on it. It's not 12 o'clock yet.
Hurry up!
You get out of here! When I said you get out of here, Mason, she left.
Whoa.
Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, just tell people that your friend said it or whatever.
Yeah. I do that all the time. Constantly. I'm constantly doing that.
Got another one here from Dan Jones who says, what's your favorite gear up mission / battle scene for a movie? I personally have a soft spot for The Lost Boys. I got some here. Deadpool. Because he gears up and then he leaves all the stuff in the car.
Yeah, hot fuzz.
Mm. Fun.
Yes.
Commando. Classic.
Mm.
The Matrix. When all the guns
terrific.
Go whizz.
That might be actually my favorite.
Yeah. Probably The Evil Dead when Ash puts the thing on his arm or whatever.
Yeah, nice.
Sorry we can't dedicate time to this because somebody came in and started yelling. Not anymore, Mason, because I've got one more here. Why are you doing that? This is from Stu who says, I aggressively disregarded your Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 advice and took my 4-year-old to watch it. He was fine with all the violence, gore, and the sad animal stuff, but was concerned by how mean Gamora was to Quill throughout. He just ships them so hard. You need to explain to your son that this Gamora does not owe Peter Quill anything.
That is so true.
She's from a different dimension.
That's right.
And has a different experience.
They may as well be strangers.
That's right.
Here's an email from...
I can appreciate that, though.
Here's an email from Max, the Virginia, Maryland debate. Hi, James and Meso. A few years ago, I moved to Washington, D.C., which is sandwiched between Maryland and Virginia. I can confidently say they're all bad drivers, and they wish they had even more of our sweet-as-heck metro system.
Whoa!
Also, D.C. has a better flag than either. Now, we got a lot of... We opened up a real can of worms with Virginia and Maryland. I got a lot of emails. I'll save for next week.
Okay, cool.
But boy, howdy.
Oh, this flag's all right, I guess.
People are mad. People are real mad. I assume Virginia and Maryland are next to each other, but maybe they're not.
Maybe they're not.
Maybe they're other sides of the country. I don't know.
Who's to say? Mason, please wrap up the show.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to the pod. We absolutely appreciate it. If you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Grandmates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Pod subreddit and Discord. You can follow us on the various socials. They're all linked in the episode description.
Yep.
You want to follow us there. Folks, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSunnyMovies. If you want to chuck in a buck or an amount you wouldn't miss, or you can go to bigsandwich.co if you're a big time billionaire, and you can go there and for $9 per month you get bonus podcasts, movie commentaries, Let's Plays, video games, and all sorts of stuff. It's a great old time. Thank you to the Boot and the Basilisk and Rackham for all the musical themes. And also, if you want some t-shirts, you go to tpublic.com. Next week, different thing.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is, but it is something.
That's Little Mermaid.
We're going to get Claire on.
Myrtle Mermaid.
Myrtle Mermaid.
Okay,
just quickly,
that.
You can review the show. You can do it in-app. This one's from CRV1138. 5-star says, big compliment. Compliment! And this one's from Randall Slayton who says, you guys should also do a car podcast. Thank you. And also big thank you to Sarabi Fidel and Maisie who are not only looking after the Great Mates group, but also various other social medias and editing. And they do a great job. Things. Thank you so much. See you guys next week. Make sure you go out and see The Little Mermaid on the biggest screen you can.
That's right. Your phone.
Your phone. Thanks, everyone.
Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
I don't have diarrhea.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.